Now to the systems programming stories, which are some of my favorite discussions on HN because they tend to involve people with deep domain expertise who are not interested in being polite about bad engineering. The first story is Memory Safe Inline Assembly from the philc.org project. The post describes an approach to writing inline assembly in a way that maintains the memory safety guarantees of the surrounding language, and that sounds like an oxymoron if you know anything about how inline assembly typically works.
Inline assembly, for listeners who haven't had the pleasure, is when you embed raw CPU instructions directly into your higher-level code. You do this when you need performance or access to hardware features that the compiler can't express. The problem is that inline assembly is essentially an escape hatch from all of your language's safety guarantees. You're manipulating registers and memory directly. And if you get it wrong, you get undefined behavior, memory corruption, or security vulnerabilities, the kind of bugs that take months to diagnose.
The PhilC project, which appears to be related to work by Philip Pislow, who has done significant work on memory safety in language runtimes, is proposing an approach where the assembly itself is constrained in ways that preserve the invariance the runtime depends on. The specific technique involves restricting which registers and memory operations the assembly can perform, combined with instrumentation that verifies the assembly respects the runtime's memory model. It's a narrowing of what inline assembly can do, but in exchange, you get safety properties you wouldn't otherwise have.
The HN comments are sparse, 26 responses, but what's there is technically dense and largely positive from people who have experience with unsafe low-level code. The real-world application is in security-sensitive contexts where you need both performance and verifiable safety properties. Think browser JavaScript engines, cryptographic implementations, or operating system kernels.
The Lisp in the Rust Type System project is more in the category of technically audacious than immediately practical, but it's exactly the kind of thing HN loves. The project, hosted at PlayX18's GitHub, implements a Lisp interpreter entirely within Rust's type system, meaning the computation happens at compile time, not at runtime. The program is expressed as type-level constructs, and the Rust compiler evaluates it when it compiles your code.
This is related to a class of programming called type-level programming, and it exploits the fact that Rust's type system is Turing-complete in the formal sense. You can express computations that the type checker will evaluate. The practical applications are limited because compile times blow up and error messages become incomprehensible. But the theoretical point is important. Rust's type system is expressive enough to serve as a computing substrate.
And then there's the mathematics post that deserves more attention than its 239 points might suggest. The post, Everything is Logarithms at alexkrachevsky.com, makes a sustained argument that logarithms aren't just a mathematical tool, but a fundamental way of perceiving and representing the world. The human auditory system perceives pitch logarithmically. The Richter scale is logarithmic. Decibels are logarithmic. Compound interest is exponential in one direction, which is logarithmic in the other. The argument is that our intuition for ratios and proportions is more natural and more useful than our intuition for absolute differences.
The connection to computing is direct. Floating point arithmetic is essentially a logarithmic number system. You get roughly equal relative precision across many orders of magnitude, which is why floating point is so useful for scientific computation. The post connects nicely to the CPU efficiency post, also trending today, which covers operation costs in clock cycles for modern CPUs. Understanding that multiplication of floating point numbers involves adding their logarithmic exponents is not just a trivia fact. It's the kind of mental model that helps you reason about why certain operations are fast or slow on modern hardware.
And there's a delightful historical callback in the form of a 1992 blog post resurfacing about the problems of computer programming in 1992. The author, writing from memory about Fortran-era computing, describes constraints that seem almost mythological now: memory limitations measured in kilobytes, batch processing jobs that took hours, the complete absence of interactive debugging. Reading it alongside the Memory Safe Inline Assembly post gives you a visceral sense of how much the field has changed in 34 years, while also how many of the fundamental challenges remain structurally similar.
The Wigglegram post also belongs somewhere in this segment as a piece of craft. The author at LMAO.center accidentally created what they're calling a Wigglegram, which is a type of animated stereoscopic photograph that creates a 3D effect through slight shifts between frames while working on a completely different project. The write-up is funny and technically interesting, covering the computer vision and image processing steps that inadvertently produced the effect. It's gotten 289 points and 63 comments. And sometimes the most engaging technical content on HN is someone honestly describing something going delightfully sideways.